Good morning, everyone. I am loving the opportunity to share the word with you and excited about our continued ongoing study through the minor prophets. And today we're in, this is our fourth message in the book of Amos, and lots of really cool things in here I'm very excited about. So I'd like you to stand one more time as we read our text together. We're going to read from Amos chapter 5, 17 verses here. Amos 5, 1 through 17. I'd like us to read this passage and allow this word to really get into our hearts today. Amos 5, 1 through 17, hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Fallen no more to rise is the virgin Israel, forsaken on her land with none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord, to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and do not enter Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, he who made the Pleiades and Orion and turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name, who makes destruction flash forth against the strong so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, in all squares there shall be wailing, and in all the streets they shall say, alas, alas. They shall call to the farmers to mourning and to wailing, those who are skilled in lamentation, and in all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we hear the words of the prophet Amos, and we ask that you allow these words to find good soil inside of our heart and to plant good seeds so that we may grow and be transformed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for standing and attention to the word. We're going to look at this lamentation of Amos. And this lamentation, a lamentation, of course, is a cry. It's a mourning and a weeping song. And he's weeping despite the fact that the people of Israel and Judah were living in a lot of peace and prosperity. And he's looking at their peace and their prosperity, and he's saying, you got here the wrong way. And where you are is not a reflection of what is going on inside of you. And that bill is going to come due. And that prosperity that you are presently experiencing is all going to crumble to nothing. The houses that you built, you're not going to be able to live in them. The vineyards that you planted, you're not going to be able to drink from them. Because all those externals are nothing with regard to what is happening on the inside. And so in that lamentation and that crying out, there's also an offer of hope. Amos is saying there is a chance that we can change our ways. There is something that you can do, that you can turn to prevent this disaster from falling upon you. And that thing that you must do is seek God. Seek God. So the message this morning is called Seeking Justice by Seeking God. Now, over the past year and a half, we've been doing every month what we call a Seeking God night. And usually it's on a Sunday night. It'll be two Sundays from now, a Seeking God night. And it's our, like, as the name implies, we want you to seek God. You want to come together and seek God. Call upon him in prayer. Sing his praises. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and to speak through you. Seeking God is a priority. A priority for Living Way Church. It is a priority for every believer. And what happened in this day and age of Amos's time was they got to a place where they were content and satisfied, and they stopped seeking God. They stagnated. They became cold. Jesus tells the parable of the farmer who's built up. He's got all of his crops, and he says, "I'm just going to build a bigger barn. I got everything made. I'm just going to keep everything I have, and I'm not going to need to work anymore. I'm not going to need to farm anymore. I've got it made." He stopped working, stopped seeking, and God says, "You fool! Today your life is coming due." So I wanted to look at this passage, and I'm praying over this passage and trying to understand. Again, Amos' main message is a message of justice, and he's calling out the injustice that they used to get to their place. And as I prayed about this, I was like, well, what is going on here in this passage? Where do you want me to go with this? And a theme that prevails not just in this passage, but throughout all of Amos's words, all of his prophecy, is this theme that I want to put just real simple phrase here. Born to hunt. Now, what do I mean by this? Like, Amos, throughout his prophecy, keeps referencing lions. Now, he mentions he's a shepherd. So lions play a big role in the life of Amos, as you can imagine. As any shepherd, like, they hear a lion roar, and it means something, right? A lion's like, oh, I've got, you know, I'm surrounded by hundreds of sheep. That's lion food, right? If I hear the sound of a lion, and I've got all these sheep around me, I better pay attention. But Amos is kind of interesting because he uses the metaphor of a lion to talk both about an enemy, but also about God. He talks about lions in two senses. And as I thought about this passage, and in this passage in particular in Amos 5, multiple times he's saying, seek, seek, seek. I thought about how all of us have this sort of lion and lamb type of quality to us. Now lambs or sheep, they seek food, right? So do lions. But there's two very different kinds of seeking that are taking place between the lions and lambs, right? Like a sheep is looking for what's just standing there, like just grass. Like they don't hunt, right? They just graze. They just gather. But a lion is a hunting animal. It's out there looking. It's smelling. It's searching. And this is sort of also reflective of us, because all of us are similarly both lionish and lambish. Like we are all kind of seekers, but then sometimes we get very satisfied and we're like, I don't really want to do any seeking today. Like I like hunting, I like looking, I like, but sometimes I'm like, I'm just going to take what's there, take what's in front of me. I want us to think about that kind of analogy in our own lives as we go through this concept and the words of Amos commissioning and telling the people, you need to seek God. In Amos chapter 3, verse 4, Amos says, does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if he has taken nothing? Amos says, I hear that sound of that lion, and I know it means something. So as I think about that in our own lives, and I want you to consider this, I want you to start thinking about what are the things that you are seeking, and how are you seeking those things? And if you go, well, I'm not really seeking anything at this time, I want to reiterate this. If you're not actively seeking God, then you are seeking something else. If the predominant cause in your life, the main thrust of your life, is not seeking the face of God, then I promise you, you are seeking something else instead. Do you know how I know this? Because it's true in my own life. The worst thing and the best thing that has ever happened to us is the continual access to all of the information that exists upon earth. Like immediate access. So I put it this way. If you think, I'm not really seeking anything, scrolling is seeking. Right? Scrolling is seeking. If you today looked at your phone and looked for any bit of information at all, then you were seeking. Right? So anybody here this morning look at for information? Would anybody do some seeking this morning? No. All of us. Any of you doing it right now? Huh. And my sister, she's caught. Wow. Come on. We're seeking. What are we seeking? Wow, there's something out there. Now, I say that we're seeking, but this is kind of the grazing. This is just out there. It's like, oh, it's just here. Just here. It's just, that's right there for me. We're not really hungry. We're not really hunting. And I really think that the way that we're designed by God is not just to just take what's right there, but to hunt, like to be diligent, to be eager. There's more life in it. There's more, I don't know, vitality. Like, I want to find. I think I want to try and go to like a library and look something up. I don't do that because, again, I have all the information here, but man, what would that be like to actually look in a book? It'd be nuts, huh? Amos said in chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servant the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? What Amos says is, this is the roar of the lion. This is the prophecy, the word of God, the secrets of God revealed to us. It's right here in this book, and he wants us to seek after him. He, like a lion, is roaring and saying, hey, come on, And he wants us to seek him. So I want to talk to you this morning about seeking the Lord and what there's three specific type of seekings that in Amos chapter 5 that Amos talks about. He says the first one is, seek me and live. He says, seek me and live. Come with me if you want to live, right? Just you, I don't know. They don't remember our former governor, I don't know. That's an Arnold Schwarzenegger quote. Well, not a Schwarzenegger quote, it's a character that he played. Anybody know Sarah Connors? Okay, there are a couple of you. Goodness gracious. Seek me and live. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. A lot of us, like, we like that first part, right? God's got the plans. Like, we're just going to graze. We're going to graze. This is the grass in front of us. God's got good plans for me. I'm just going to eat that. Yum. That's great. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God wants you to seek him with all your heart, to desperately, eagerly, energetically, zealously, passionately pursuing God. Seek him with all your heart. Understand this about God. God is a personal God who is seeking a personal relationship with you. This is a crazy concept to me. It's a crazy concept. God, the great creator of all things, the God who exists beyond all time, beyond all space, beyond all of our perception of reality. God who exists eternally in triune, Father, Son, and Spirit, in perfect harmony, in perfect love for one another, always giving and having no need of anything outside of himself. God does not need you or me. God does not need the earth. He does not need our solar system. He does not need the Milky Way. He needs nothing. He is perfectly, sufficiently happy and content in who he is. And yet, what we see revealed to us through the scriptures and through our reality is that he is actively seeking you. A personal relationship with you. With you. You, tiny speck of nothingness, you. We are less than infinitesimal small. We're so tiny and insignificant in the grand scale of the universe. And he doesn't need us for anything. And yet he's seeking us. Psalm 14, 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Is there anyone? I love the depiction of God on the Sistine Chapel. It's him stretching out. It's God stretching out. And here's Adam, limp-wristed, like, meh. And it's meant to describe, to define how pathetic our human compulsion is, our human desires are, when there's the great God of the universe who is truly the satisfaction of every deepest longing of our heart. He's right here and he's seeking to see, is there anyone who will reach out to me? Anybody searching for me? Colossians 3:1 says, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So now, here's where we find out. How can we ever seek God? There's something that can happen. God saw it. God looked down. He said, no, nobody's seeking me. None. So what am I going to do? I am going to keep seeking them. I'm going to go lower and lower and lower. I will take on human flesh. God the Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, says, I will become human. I will take on humanity, and I will walk among them. I will go all the way to the embryonic stages. I will become fully human. I will be born, and I will be raised, and I will have to be taught how to speak. I will have to be taught how to go to the bathroom by myself, how to get dressed. I will allow myself to suffer all of the skinned knees and the bumbling, toddling childhood. I will stumble through all of that. I will walk in humble obedience and to the commands and the directions of my earthly parents. I will do all of that. I will honor them with all of my life. I will become obedient all throughout my entire life, even to the degree in which I will be put on trial for sins that I've never even committed. And I will suffer the indignity of the false condemnation, and I will go to the cross. I will be crucified, and I will die. That's how much I will seek a relationship with you. I'll do it all. and then I will rise. And in that resurrection, I will bring with me anyone and everyone who has faith in what I've accomplished for them. That's why Paul says, Colossians, if you have been raised with Christ, he does all of that, the death and the burial and the resurrection, for you. And if you will believe, then it is counted to you. That's why you were baptized in water. Because you said, like Christ, I am, or with Christ, I am going under and coming back up. And because that has happened for you, because you've been baptized, because you've confessed, because you received this communion that says the death of Christ is for me, because you do that, you have been raised with Christ, therefore you can seek the things that are above where Christ is. You see, that the intersection of the Christian life is when the God who is seeking you is finally sought by you. And we start seeking the one who is seeking us. When you seek him who is seeking you, that is where you start living out this faith. That is where you start living out this life of justice. And this is what Amos is getting at. He's saying, seek the one that is seeking you. Seek that lion that is roaring. He's calling. He's saying something. He's saying something powerful. He's trying to get your attention. Seek him who is seeking you. But he also has a warning. You seek God, seek him who is seated in the heavens, but do not seek Bethel. That's what he said. Do not seek Bethel. Now, what's he talking about here? Again, let's go back in Amos and back to some of his lion metaphor in Amos 3, 12 through 14. Thus says the Lord, as the shepherd rescues from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the people of Israel who dwell in Samaria be rescued with the corner of a couch and part of a bed. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, declares the Lord, God, the God of hosts, that on the day I punish Israel for his transgressions, I will punish the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. So he has a warning about Bethel. Now, background. Bethel is, it means house of God. And it was an encounter of God with Jacob. There's this encounter that they said, this is a holy place. But, several, 1,000 years later here, that holy place had been hijacked by false religion, by false worship. So then, when Amos is prophesying against Bethel, when he says, do not seek Bethel, we could say that Bethel is a representation of seeking God seeking either the wrong way or the wrong thing or both. So I want to talk to you for a moment about seeking the wrong way. Because this is really critical to our Christian faith. I just told you that the intersection of our Christian faith is when the God who is seeking us when we start to seek the God who is seeking us, and we're living that out. But in that life, that Christian life, there comes a time, a lot of the times, where we may have a good motive in mind, but we fall victim to the temptation of maybe it's pragmatism or some other means, like saying the ends justify the means, right? So I want to get to this objective and therefore I'm going to go this route. We start seeking the right thing the wrong way. And when you seek the right thing the wrong way, guess what happens? You get the wrong thing. You cannot seek the right thing the wrong way and get the right thing. It doesn't work. If you seek the right thing the wrong way, you're going to get the wrong thing. Proverbs 29:26 says, many seek the face of a ruler, but it is from the Lord that man gets justice. You're not going to get the justice of God through man's ways. So, great example of this is the story of Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, we have the story of Absalom. Absalom is one of David's sons, and tragic story. But Absalom, as David's son, he's like Simba. He just can't wait to be king, right? And Absalom's like, I want to be king, and I'm sick of my dad, and I'm gonna make it happen. So he comes up with a scheme, and he goes to the town gates. Now, there's a throughout the Bible, the city gates is this representation, a physical place where the elders of the city, the wise men of the city, would gather at the city gates. And if you had a problem, if you had a question, if you had a need for wisdom, you would show up at the gates. And that's where the elders were, and that's where decisions were made, that's where judgment was rendered, at the city gates. So Absalom shows up at the gates, and he starts to basically get very political. He reminds me a lot of all of our politicians. He's at the gates, and this is what he says. And people start coming to him, and and they start like, hey, life is hard, man. I'm upset about this. I'm angry about this. This injustice. And Absalom says, see, your claims are good and right, but there's no man designated by the king to hear you. And Absalom said, oh, if I were judge, then every man with a dispute or a cause could come to me and I would give him justice. Yeah, this is his plan. He undermines the authority of his father, the king. He says, oh, that guy's not doing his job. But if I were in charge, I would take care of you. He's more like Scar than Mufasa, Simba. I just remembered Scar. Because, yeah, he's the one that wants to be the... I apologize for the Simba slander. I'm sorry I messed that one up. This is Scar. Oh, Absalom is Scar. Okay, we got that clear. So he's standing at the gates and he's buttering up everybody that comes and he's saying, I can give you justice. Trust me. Well, you fast forward through the story, guess what? It doesn't go well, right? He was seeking the wrong way. He was saying, I'll give you justice, the right thing, but it's going to come through me, wrong way. It doesn't work. So when the people saw, when Amos said, don't seek Bethel. That's because Bethel had become a place of false worship, of falsely seeking God through man's ways, not through God's ways. Then there's that other part, is that maybe you're seeking the wrong thing. Well, that's really bad. How do you know if you're seeking the wrong thing? How do you know? I mean, again, we have all of these desires, all of these compulsions, all of these drives in our life. Am I seeking the right thing? Maybe I'm not seeking maybe I'm seeking it the right way, but I'm not seeking the right thing. How do we know? You know, there's a real helpful tool through the scriptures. What's the goal? Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Time and time again, we find that the wrong thing is the thing that we are most selfishly desiring. Selfish ambition is the wrong thing. And look at the test that exists like within the realm of all of our perpetual marketing to tell us, seek this. What is the advertisement? What is the end game? It's going to make you happy. It's going to be pleasing to you. You will be satisfied. You. It's always targeted at your selfish ambition. So if it's the selfish ambition that is the primary objective, then we could probably rule that out. We could probably say that might just be the wrong thing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. So if it's selfish ambition, then it's probably not of love. Philippians 2:21 says, they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. What are you seeking? What is the thing that you are seeking? Is it the interest of Jesus Christ? Or is it your own desires? James puts it really well in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this? That your passions are at war within you. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What are you seeking? How do you know if that thing that you are seeking is the right thing? I would ask you to put this test upon it. Am I seeking this for my own good, for my own glory, or for the glory of God? Why am I seeking this? Am I seeking it that God may be glorified in my life? Or am I seeking it because I believe that this thing, this person, this plan is going to make me happy, is going to satisfy me? That's kind of what James is telling us, right? Don't seek Bethel. Don't fall for the trap. Again, you're born to hunt. You're a seeker. God wants you to seek. And you can easily take that passion and that enthusiasm and that energy to seek, to hunt, to look, and go awry. And instead of seeking God, start self-seeking. This was the problem that happened to Israel, the problem that happened to Judah, the problem that has come upon all nations, all peoples, for all time. So we know that it is relevant to us today. All of us are prone to seeking the wrong thing or seeking the wrong way or both. So finally, I want us to look at one more thing that Amos said. He said, seek good and not evil. Seek good and not evil. I want to be a little careful in how I place this, kind of what the language I want to use here. But have you guys noticed that over the past few years, there's been an increased conversation about mental health, right? It's a lot of conversation about mental health, mental health, mental health. And I heard it on the radio this morning, this conversation, the mental health, mental health, mental health. And I don't want to minimize the need for strong mental health. But I do think that a lot of the times, I'm speaking in generalities when I say a lot of the time, but I think there are many occasions where what is being called mental health is just clear thinking, right? Just clarity of thought. And I think that part of the increase in the struggles of mental health in our day and age is that there's not a lot of clarity, or maybe put it on a more positive sense, there's a lot of confusion regarding the distinction between good and evil. And if you live in a culture where the lines between good and evil are blurred, that's going to create a lot of quote-unquote mental health struggles. Are you guys tracking with me? Like, if it's not clear to us what is right and what is wrong, we're all going to get kind of frustrated. Because we just said here, seek God and don't seek Bethel. But if those are confused, we're going to struggle, right? Like, I want to seek God, but is this God? So Amos says, let's call it good and evil. Seek good, not evil. And if you can't really discern those two things, you are going to grow frustrated. You are going to be upset. You're going to get anxious. You're going to get afraid. You're going to be confused. Seek good and not evil. Proverbs 11:27 says, whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. See what that says? Look, you're going to get what you're looking for. If it's good, you're going to get good. If it's evil, yikes. A psalm that's not up there, Psalm 105:4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Constantly seeking God is the only solution that we have. Constantly seeking God, constantly seeking good. So let's go back here to this earlier example of Absalom. Absalom is sitting there at the gate. Oh, your complaints are right. Your complaints are true. Your complaints are good. If only there was somebody, who could give you justice. If only the king was not derelict in his responsibility. If I were in charge, if it were up to me, what'd Scar say? You'll never be hungry again. Did he say that? I'm looking over at the people who know the Lion King. Yeah? Okay, good. What a little liar that Scar is, because he's not a good manager of the Pride Lands. It's a good movie, man. It's really good. Absalom's like, hey, I'm the one here at the gate, and I'm telling you, I can satisfy you. Trust me. But he's confusing them. He's lying to them. This was not in my notes at all until this morning when, in my daily Bible reading, I read Proverbs 8, because today is June 8th, which is an important day, right? Why is it an important day? That's right, it's Valerie Balcom's birthday. No, it's her birthday. Well, it is God's day. Every day is the Lord's day. But happy birthday. Congratulations. But Proverbs 8 is such a cool proverb. So it's good for you to be. It's good to be born on the 8th. Everybody who's born on the 8th and you get to read Proverbs 8 on your birthday, praise God. That's the best day to be born. And Proverbs 8 says, does not wisdom call, does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. Wisdom is this personification of Jesus. And it says, at the gates, there she is, there he is. He's calling out, I'm there, I'm there, I'm at the gates. I am here for you. I am here to discern or to provide for you discernment, to understand the difference between good and evil, between right and wrong. But when I say it's a personification, I want you guys to understand this, that at the gates is not Absalom, because we live in the new covenant reality. There's not a deceiver at the gates. There's not a false Bethel that is going to stand there and trick you. No, instead, there's something even greater. In fact, it's not even someone at the gates. There's someone that is the gate. Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the door. I am the way. I am the entrance. If you will come in by me, you will have eternal life. If you will go in through Jesus Christ, through the crucified God and Savior, then you will understand the right way and the wrong way. It is through him. He is that filter. He has the determination. It is through him and him alone. It is by him. He pours out his Spirit. He gives us wisdom from on high. And he gives to us his word, and it makes sense, and it is clear, and there is a right, and there is a wrong, and there is a his way, and there is the wrong way. And this is the way. This is the way. And there's clarity in it. There's not confusion in him. He's not a God of disorder. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God who gives clear understanding. And the confusion comes when we're listening too much to those on the outside. That's where the confusion comes. Psalm 34:10, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. If you will seek the Lord, if you will seek his face, if you will turn your eyes to the cross, if you will lift your eyes to the heavens and to him who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh, think of this. Think of this word from Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to have to look it up because I don't even have it written down or memorized or anything. I think I have it memorized, but I want to make sure I get it right. It's in the Bible. Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. A door standing open in heaven. I looked up, and the gates to heaven are open. What gate? What door? It's Jesus Christ. He's the one. Seek him. Seek the good of Jesus Christ. Find clarity. Find understanding. Find wisdom from on high. Seek the Lord and live. That's my word for you this morning. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's taken from Psalm 34, which we began our service with, which I just read to you about the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, church. And I want to invite you this morning, seek his face. If you are in a place where you're saying, man, I want to seek God. I've sought Bethel, I've sought the wrong way and I've sought the wrong thing. But I need today, I want to turn from those ways and seek him. Understand this. He is here right now seeking you. Everything that Jesus Christ accomplished is now presently active, and the Holy Spirit is here in this place. Seeking you. He's grabbing onto your heart. He's saying, turn, turn, lift up your eyes, put your faith in Jesus. Anybody lacks wisdom? Pray. Whatever you're lacking, turn to him in prayer. He will be found by those who seek him. That is his promise. So I invite you this morning, as this song is sung, as we all join together in singing it, make it a prayer. Seeking you, God. Find me. Let's sing.